God, we are privileged to be able to hold in our hands here your very word to us. These are more than just words on a page. This is truth. It is what you have revealed to us about yourself, about our sin, about your grace and mercy and forgiveness, about our Savior. Lord, you have revealed things about how you want us to live, how you want us to behave, to think and act as your children. And so, Lord, we take this as our manual for living. You want us to not only understand the contents of your word, you want us to apply it to our lives. And so I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would help us to rightly handle your word, to see its relevant application to our lives today, and to make that application to your glory. Thank you again for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to start this morning off just a little bit more interactively and toss out a question here. For you to go ahead and respond, how do you show someone you love them? What are some things you do to show someone you love them?
Foot massage.
A foot massage. That's a very specific one. Yes. Yep, foot massage. All right. What else?
Tell them.
Yeah, use your words. Tell the person you love them. And there's a lot of good, affirming, loving words we can use for another person. What else? What was that? Sustain them, yes. Take care of them, feed them. There was another one over here. Assist them, yeah. Uh-huh. Listen. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. So, yeah. Listen. Yeah, one more. Yeah, you know, remember those special occasions, birthdays, anniversaries, Mother's Day, again, next Sunday. All kind of words of affirmation, gifts, time together, just caring for one another. So many different ways that we can show one another we love each other. Okay, let me turn the question slightly then. How do you show someone, these kind of overlap, but how do you show someone that you respect them? How do you show someone that you appreciate them? A little bit of a nuance, but are there any differences? Is it the same things? How would you show someone you appreciate them or you respect them? Obey them, okay, so doing what, you know, especially if they're in a position of authority over you, doing what they call you to do, yeah? Thank them, yeah, just gratitude, sure, uh-huh. Again, listen, yeah, well, there's another really good, well, listening is a common one, isn't it? Anything else? One more, maybe. What was that? Compliment them, sure, yeah. We show people respect and how much we appreciate them, maybe in how we talk about them and how we speak to them. We certainly can show it in how we obey them or serve them, how we speak about them in the presence of others. These are all things that are healthy. They're not only culturally appropriate, I believe that they also have good biblical precedent. We are encouraged to love others. We are encouraged to treat one another kindly. We are cautioned to be careful about how we talk to them and about them. Now this morning, I'm going to take us out of our study in 2 Timothy. We've been beginning in a study in 2 Timothy, and you may remember me mentioning that 2 Timothy is, as far as we can tell, Paul's final letter written in the New Testament. That was the last of his New Testament letters that was written for us and recorded for us in the New Testament. Today, I'm actually going to jump us to the other end of things. I want to look at what is likely Paul's very first recorded letter in the New Testament, and it's actually just a few pages before 2 Timothy. They don't have all of those books in their chronological order. They're grouped differently. So I want to take us to his first letter written to the Thessalonians this morning. And actually, in the final chapter of that letter, Paul calls on the church to love the Lord's servants. And he takes two verses to request that the church show appreciation and love for their leaders. Now, let me get this out of the way first. This is one of those passages that can be a little awkward to preach because it feels something like a father addressing his kids and explaining to them why he deserves gifts on Father's Day. So what I'm trying to do here is normally, I would normally not preach through a passage like this, except as I was working my way maybe through a study in 1 Thessalonians, and well, it's there, so I have to preach it. So let me explain why I'm actually kind of just jumping to it this morning. I have a handful of reasons why I chose to cover this text today. And let me give you the first one of those reasons right up front here. It's because you guys do this so well. And I wanted to use today to just commend you in how well you care for the Lord's servants. From the very first moments my family and I arrived here over 10 years ago, you have made us feel loved and appreciated and so very welcome here. And more than that, you have shown me abundant respect and appreciation, and I can say it is a true joy to serve as your pastor and to count you as my friends and my spiritual family. Another reason that I chose this text today is because this is about as far away as I can get on the calendar from Pastor Appreciation Month in October. So this way I can talk about this text and commend you for your actions without it feel like I'm pointing to that. Okay, so let's get started. Let me invite you to open your Bibles with me to 1 Thessalonians, the final chapter there, chapter 5 and verse 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. If you're using one of the Bibles in the rack there in front of you, it'll be page 1067. 1 Thessalonians 5:12, and we're just going to look at two verses together this morning, so I'll invite you to follow along as I read those, and then we'll talk about what Paul is calling the church to do. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 12, the Apostle Paul writing, he says this: "But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another." Now I'm going to take what I feel is kind of the central truth of these verses, and I'm going to use it as the singular point that we're going to take out of this short passage here. It's that we are to be grateful for those who devote their lives to serving God. We're to be grateful for those who devote their lives to serving God. Now, Paul was certainly an example of that sort of service. He had devoted his entire Christian life to preaching the gospel, to establishing churches as he traveled that first century world. But here, what he does is he encourages the church to be grateful for their own leaders, that Thessalonian church, and by extension, all churches since, to be grateful for their own leaders. And let me give you just a little bit of history on the Thessalonian church. Paul first preached the gospel in Thessalonica during his second missionary journey. And Acts chapter 17 records some of those details for us. Among them, it records that, as was his practice, he would go into the synagogues. Having been a rabbi and a Pharisee himself, he was privileged to be able to step into a synagogue and be allowed to teach. And so, as was his practice, he would go in there and he would preach, but he would show them the suffering servant from the Old Testament, and he would point to Christ as the fulfillment of those prophecies. And Acts 17 records that some Jews were persuaded by his message, that many of the God-fearing Greeks were absolutely persuaded, and several of the city's leading women also believed Paul's words. Regrettably, though, his ministry in Thessalonica was comparatively brief, as some of the non-Christian Jews in the city regarded his message as a threat to Judaism, and so they kind of stirred up a riot, and they got a bunch of people, and they rushed the house where Paul and his companions were staying. Thankfully, by God's grace, Paul and his companions did not happen to be there at the time, so they dragged out the homeowner, Jason, and they dragged him down before the city officials and made their accusations about how Paul and his companions were throwing the city into an uproar and demanding retribution and whatever. Thankfully, the city rulers there in Thessalonica saw through the motives of these jealous Jews, and so what they did is they released Jason, and their only requirement was that Paul and his companions would not disturb the city's peace any longer. So this made it necessary for the missionaries to leave Thessalonica. So Paul wasn't there very long. From there, Paul and his companions traveled south. They stopped briefly in the city of Berea, had a very similar ministry there of having people come to faith in Christ, but some of the people from Thessalonica heard about it, and they came and raised the same sort of trouble in Berea, so they didn't stay there long either, went further south, and they ended up in the city of Corinth. And that's where Paul stayed for the next 18 months. It was during the early part of his stay in Corinth that Paul writes this letter back to that fledgling Christian church in Thessalonica, writing to the Thessalonian believers. So this church hadn't been in existence all that long. And their leaders were also quite equally new when Paul closed the letter here with these instructions that we find in our passage. And I have to say, I have no doubt that the leadership in that church probably looked different than what would have been expected in the culture of that day. In various civil or social clubs or organizations, those sorts of things, what was common in Greco-Roman culture of the first century was that the wealthier members of the group would be those who were put into positions of leadership. One of two reasons: either because they were benefactors for the group, because they had given so much money for the support of the work, they would be put into leadership, or sometimes in the hopes that they would contribute a lot of money. We'll make you leaders in the hopes that you will contribute money to this group. Well, that's not the way it was done in the church. And Paul makes that clear in our passage. His instructions in verse 12, we could really call them countercultural. Paul wanted the congregation both to acknowledge and respect as its leaders those people among them who were actually doing the work of ministry. Not to single out those in their congregation who were the wealthier ones or more able to support the work, but those who were actually doing the work of ministry, not those who had the money or the social status. In calling the church to do this, Paul pointed out two areas where much of the hard work of the leaders would probably be evident. First, you notice Paul said there in verse 12, he says, "We request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord." New churches, like the one in Thessalonica, needed strong spiritual leadership. In every church that he established, Paul sought to appoint elders and leaders who could teach sound doctrine, they could help believers mature spiritually, they could equip them to live for Christ, and to do so even in the face of opposition, which was increasingly common in that first century context. It was the responsibility of leaders in the church to stand over their congregation in the assembly of the Lord. They were to provide supervision, protection, discipline, direction for other believers. They were to have an acute interest in the welfare of those people, wanting to see them grow in their relationship with the Lord. Now, if we were to look in other passages of Scripture, another theme that shows up repeatedly, actually both in Old and New Testament, when it comes to spiritual leadership, is spiritual leaders in the church are sometimes identified as being shepherd-like in their responsibilities. They are like shepherds over sheep, watching over them, guarding them. And so as shepherds, these leaders were to seek the benefit of the members of that church. They were to care for them. This was the charge that was given to them by God. They have a charge over you in the Lord. Also in verse 12 there, Paul says these leaders were to also give instruction or to admonish the church members. And that word can be translated a couple of different ways: instruct, admonish. You kind of get the positive and negative flavors of the breadth of that word. Positively, these leaders were to do what we expect all Christian leaders to do. They were to teach. They were to instruct people. They were to teach the word of God, proclaim the gospel message of salvation from sin and its consequences through faith in the one and only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. They were to help their hearers grow in their understanding of sound doctrine. They were to help them apply God's word to their lives and daily living. The other side of the word, kind of on the negative side, is more admonish, which would certainly be calling the church, the calling of a church leader as well. Admonishing believers involves more seeking to correct, maybe to correct doctrinal errors or moral errors. That admonishing, it's the same sort of responsibility that we generally expect of parents towards their children, right? That sometimes the answer has to be no. Sometimes there has to be correction. And it's not necessarily always punitive. It's with an eye towards the growth of that child and the maturation of that child. So we admonish, we teach. These are some of the responsibilities that are laid upon leaders in the church. They are to labor in those responsibilities diligently, working to honor and serve the Lord, His church, and the body of Christ. They are to stand over the congregation as an under-shepherd to the chief shepherd, giving instruction and correction. So when Paul issues the call to the church to appreciate and highly esteem their leaders, it's not because of their title. It's not because of their status. It is rather, it's because of their service amongst the believers. You know, there is a respect that people sometimes have for a person simply because they occupy a certain position. Even though that form of respect, I think, is becoming a little less common. For instance, you may like or dislike a given president in the history of your life, but generally there's a respect for the position, the office of president, even if you don't particularly like who's in that office right now. Same thing with, on a smaller level, maybe the same thing with law enforcement. You may not agree with that police officer, but you respect the authority that individual has to make the commands or say the things that he or she is saying. In the same way, I think it's possible for a person to respect a church leader simply because of the position they hold, but not to actually respect the individual. Well, I respect the pastor because he's the pastor, but I really don't respect him as a person. And Paul makes it clear that that's not the intention for how church leaders are to be regarded. They're to be appreciated and respected not because of the position. The appreciation and respect should come because of their diligent work, their labor for the Lord. True Christian leadership is not about show. It's about substance. It's not self-serving, it's self-sacrificial. The example that we have in Scripture of how to be the kind of leader God wants to see in His churches, the example is given to us in Jesus Christ, who demonstrated a servant's heart for leadership. There's so many ways, I think, that we can show appreciation towards leaders who work diligently for the church, to appreciate them and esteem them highly in love. Actually, that word that Paul uses here for showing appreciation, that one gets translated a variety of different ways in various English translations of the Scriptures. You may find it showing up as respect or honor or to recognize them or even to just know them well, to get to know them well. And again, I think there's so many different ways that a church can show appreciation for their leaders. And here again, let me thank you guys, because part of my purpose this morning was just to say thank you for doing this so well, for showing appreciation and care and concern so well. You guys excel at this calling of the Lord. I have to tell you about something that happened this week. I'm sure there have probably been times in all of our lives where you have one of those days where maybe you just don't feel like, am I doing anything right? You know, just it's just one of those kind of days. And I inadvertently used that exact phrase earlier this week talking with someone for our church, from our church, and I hadn't meant for it to be overly serious. It was just kind of one of those exasperations, am I doing anything right, you know? And we went on with our conversation and went about our days. Well, that same person stopped by my office the next day unannounced because he felt compelled to respond to me. He came in, he shut the door, he said, you know, you asked something the other day. You asked, am I doing anything right? And I had to think about that because I hadn't really thought much about it when I said it. He said, well, I felt God moving me to come and tell you some of the things that I see you doing right. And he proceeded to just lay out for me some of what the Lord had put on his heart for how he saw God working in my life. And I got to tell you, I felt appreciated. I felt highly esteemed and loved in that moment. And that's just one recent example, again, of what you guys all do so very well. You have put together pastor appreciation lunches. You have written me notes of encouragement. You have texted me. You have stopped me in the hallway to talk to me. And you have shown your love in so many tangible ways. And I want you to know that the Lord uses your kindnesses in my life in such a mighty way. And I'm so grateful for you guys. I have a little file in my office that I keep all of the cards and notes you guys write to me. I call it my Barnabas file. Barnabas was a companion of Paul. His name means son of encouragement, so it's my little encouragement file. And I tuck all of those things away, and I pull that out sometimes when I'm having a rough day to just be reminded that you guys love me, and I appreciate that. But I have to tell you, not all churches treat their pastors so graciously. That's probably another reason that I think God had Paul write the things that he wrote in this verse, or in these verses here. Esteeming a leader very highly or holding them in the highest regard, I think that's an area that some Christians, some churches can genuinely struggle. You know, a leader does something less than perfectly, and a person thinks, I could have done better than that. Or maybe a song is sung well from the heart, but it lacks the production value of their favorite Christian artist or of that big church on TV, and they find themselves disappointed. Or maybe a solid message is preached, but it lacks the flair and the drama of that well-known preacher who's all over the internet and who writes all those books, and they think, well, why couldn't our pastor be more like that guy? You know, I think those can be some ways in which Christians can be tempted to fall short of showing the kind of appreciation and respect that God calls us to show our leaders in the church. Paul says that this high regard for church leaders is an expression of love for them. And I can tell you from experience, I feel so loved by all of you. With the very last phrase of our passage, Paul calls us all to live in peace with one another. And I think this is a general command. It's for leaders and those they lead as well. A leader who is exercising their authority gently and with the heart of a servant will promote peace in the body of Christ. And in the same way, the church, by appreciating and holding their leaders in high regard, in love, they will also promote peace in the body of Christ. The best way for that peace to occur is for all believers to use our God-given gifts, to let others use their gifts, and then to simply be thankful, to respect and love one another for what God is doing through each and every one of us. Paul says, we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. Again, we are to be grateful for those who devote their lives to serving God. One of my reasons for looking to this passage this morning was out of a desire to commend you. You are faithfully honoring the Lord with how you show your care and concern for the leaders of this church. And it's not just me as the pastor. I see it in how you care for our lay leadership, our deacons, and our trustees. I see it every time we have one of our supported missionaries come and give us a report, and you show them that same love and care and respect and concern. Church, you are doing well. Now, there's one more reason yet that I wanted to look at this text together this morning. I desire to lead our church to another way in which we can appreciate and highly esteem and love one of the Lord's servants. We are blessed here at Pine Grove Baptist in a way that I'm not sure a lot of other churches are blessed. We have a pastor who served our church faithfully for 24 years, who is still a part of our church family in retirement. And Bruce McLean, let me just kind of run down his history for you briefly, if I can embarrass him for a moment. Served the Lord faithfully for decades, having pastored First Baptist Church in Strathmore for 10 years, before coming to our church to be the pastor of Pine Grove Baptist. He was here for 24 years, after which he went on to serve the California Association of Regular Baptist Churches as the state representative for another 10 years. While doing all of that, he served for over 20 years on the CARBC Council and on the board of the Western Baptist Home Mission, as well as serving on the General Association of Regular Baptist Churches Council of 18. So this is a man who has diligently served the Lord and worked for the Lord the whole of his life. And while he is retired from vocational ministry, he continues to serve the Lord. He preaches at our church and other local churches here when the pastor is absent. He is a substitute leader in one of our growth groups. He has been a mentor and a friend to me from the very first week that we got to this church. He has encouraged me and loved me and given me biblical counsel. He has been a pastor to pastors. And so this morning, as a church family, we would like to honor Bruce McLean for his years of faithful ministry and service to the body of Christ. So Bruce, could I invite you and Margie to come and join me on the platform, please? We worked very hard to not let you know. Bruce, we, your church family, appreciate you. And we have a deep and profound respect and love for the faithful ministry that you have carried on over these years. And so we, as a church, want to acknowledge that by bestowing on you the honorific title of Pastor Emeritus. Now, for those of us who don't speak Latin, emeritus is a word which means one who has completed their service, one who has worked to the completion of what they were called to do. And it's a title that is meant to honor one who is recognized to have served so well as to be worthy of ongoing respect and dignity for their service in the Lord, particularly as a pastor who has served churches faithfully for years. It is a way of being able to honor and recognize that even though he may not occupy a paid position as a pastor, he is still a pastor who has served the Lord well and faithfully. And so, friends, this is one way that I felt that you and I together could fulfill God's calling in 1 Thessalonians 5:12 and 13 to honor and to respect one who has served the Lord so well. So I'm going to invite my deacons to join me on the platform here, and we have a gift from the church family to just honor you and to acknowledge your new title for us as Pastor Emeritus. And Dave, could I ask you to read what's on the plaque for us, please?
So the plaque that we got says, Pastor Emeritus Bruce McLean, in appreciation of your lifetime of tireless service to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you have encouraged and strengthened us with all of your faithful teaching, your biblical counsel, your friendship, love, and compassion. May our Heavenly Father bless you and keep you granting you his peace and surpasses the understanding and providing for you every need according to his glorious riches in Christ. With great affection and gratitude from your church family, Pine Grove Baptist Church, Santa Maria, California, May 2026. Well done, good and faithful servant, from Matthew 25:21. Thank you, please.
Yeah. Friends, I'd like to invite you to join us in just praying together and thanking the Lord for these wonderful servants of His. Dave, would you pray and then I'll close us?
Lord, you appoint to us so many faithful servants, and as we gather here today and we celebrate the great and faithful servant, Pastor Bruce McLean, and he and his wife Margie, and how they've served our church so faithfully over the years, so many years of service. We are the better of it. We can see Christ now clearer through the messages that he's given, through all of everything that he's given of his life and service to you, Lord. We are just so grateful, and we are blessed because of the ministry of Bruce and Margie has brought to our community, to our church. We thank you, and we thank Bruce and Margie in Jesus' name. Amen.
And Father, I add my amen to that, and I thank you for this faithful servant, both of these faithful servants, God, for their dedication, their commitment to honor you with their lives and service, how they have had such an impact on each and every one of our lives. Lord, they have truly taught us and corrected us and loved us and encouraged us in so many ways, and we are so grateful for that. Lord, I would pray your blessing over the both of them, that you would continue to go ahead of them, laying out their steps, God, leading them according to your divine will. I thank you for how you have gifted each of them and how they seek to continue to use those gifts to glorify and honor you. And so, Lord, we thank you for their faithful service. We commit them to your care, and thank you for the blessing of being able to continue to have them a part of our church family. We do this now in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.